Closing here. Come together, the miraculous always takes place.
Amen.
Yes.
And Lord, it's each little lick of fire here now, and may the great pillar of fire come among us and do the supernatural, perform, fulfill your own word, what you promised to do.
Yes,
Lord, lift up the hands that hang down, strengthen the feeble knees, bring healing, bring deliverance. Lord, bring restoration to your children.
Hallelujah.
Oh, grant it, dear God. Meet every need. Take us out of the way and help us just to be receivers, both the speaker and the hearers. May you speak to us and through us, we pray. Anoint your word as we would read it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles now, I invite you to turn with me. We'll thank you, brother. 1 Samuel 3:21. We'll take our text from here and just see where the Lord might help us to go from there. And I tell you what, I'm fixing to go up into the mountains, so I brought my little vest pocket Bible. It's got both the old and new in it. And so I gave Brother Benjamin my scriptures. And I've got them marked here. And believe it or not, I can see them still yet. But I'm just going to read from the bolder type here, if that's all right with everybody. Okay? 1 Samuel 3:21, everyone together. And the Lord appeared, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, I want you to notice that. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And just before that we're seated, let's go then to 1 John, I think it's 1 John 3. Beloved, now, it's 1 John 3:2, if you want to look in your Bibles or mark it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
And from these just foundational scriptures, I want to speak tonight on the appearing of the chief shepherd.
Amen.
And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word, and you might take your seats. And if you'll promise to give me your undivided attention,
yes,
I'll just let you be seated. And if I see you going to sleep now, I may want you to I may request you to stand up. But I'm sure that we have homes to sleep in, most of us. If anybody here doesn't have a bed? You know there'd be no beds in heaven?
Right.
No beds in heaven. No night there.
Amen.
No tiredness, no weariness.
Amen.
Would that be wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. And but since we have a bed, then we don't want to come to church and yawn all night, right?
Right.
That's catchy. Excuse me, I'm just trying to relax myself a little bit.
It's all right.
And I really appreciated the singing and the playing and so forth. So good to see my good friend, Brother Miller, again. Brother James, God bless you. It's a real honor to get to shake your hand again and hug your neck. And I've prayed for Brother James many times, and but I believe this is actually the first time I've been in his presence for many years, several years at least, and since he's had his accident, I believe this is the first time. We were really in a state of desperation when we first heard about that, Brother James, and we thank God for sparing you.
Amen.
And the same God that brought you this far is able to completely restore you.
Amen.
And this is a great message of restoration, isn't it?
That's right.
And this is the appearing at this hour. Now, I appreciate Brother Benjamin having these scriptures back there. I'm going to go back and forth and refer to some different scriptures. But I believe it's in 1 Peter, where, if you'll pull that one up, dear brother, when the chief shepherd shall appear. Or whoever's helping me there with the scriptures. Oh, it's our sister here. All right. Brother Benjamin transferred it over to her. Okay. This is where we will actually, let's see here now. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold, which perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's another one there in Peter, I believe, isn't there? No? Okay, the chief shepherd, yeah. What we got there? Yeah, here we go now. Oh. Okay. All right. Let's, and the chief shepherd shall appear. I thought I had that one on the card. Here, I thought it was. There we go. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, that'll be sufficient for just a moment, and we'll go forward from there. You know, I believe that anything that we bring has got to be scriptural. And anything that we have an understanding, a proper understanding of, from the message, will be scriptural.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because the only way that we knew that God was even going to send us a message or a messenger was by the scripture.
Right.
And we have no right to put our own interpretation to the scripture.
Right.
No scripture is of any private interpretation.
Right.
God's his own interpreter. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. And that itself was the fulfillment and manifestation of his word. He said in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. Amen. So the word of God, now this morning, speaking to my mostly my family and in-laws and outlaws, you know, it was quite a task to, but I feel so much at, more at ease now to speak to believers.
Amen.
And but I was trying to just lay forth the principles of the plan of redemption. And we went back to John, St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, you know. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, in verse 14, and dwelt among us, etc. And I was pointing out how that, you know, God's purpose for mankind, God's purpose for the world, God's purpose, period, God's purpose for existence. The prophet put it like this. He said, in order to give himself a reason for being, okay? Now think about this.
Amen.
Or you could say a reason for existence. Now he was Elohim throughout eternity.
Right.
But in order to give himself a reason for being, he had to predestinate a people that would need redemption. So then God, see now he doesn't exist just to keep the universe in order that he's created, as great as it is. And without, not only did he create all things, but by him all things consist. That means he keeps it in order. He keeps it functioning.
Amen.
Now the world's falling apart, but everything in heaven is in order.
Amen.
Why is the world falling apart? And all out of order because sin. See, it's not sinning in heaven. The sinning is down here. Is that right? The fall was down here. It wasn't in the cosmos, in the heavens. The stars, everything's in order there. But we see his purpose of existence is you.
Yes.
Right.
Before there was one speck of stardust, God thought about you. How would you like to be the only person in the universe? Elohim existing alone. In our King James Version, which we all believe, amen?
Amen.
And Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Brother Branham said it might be in millions of years between verse 1 and verse 2.
Right.
And verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It wasn't that way when God created it. There could have been millions of years. We don't know all, and we don't know exactly how long it took. You understand? So, there's no contradictions there, really. If we can just wait and watch.
Yes.
Amen.
But nonetheless, what was God's purpose? See? What was his purpose? His purpose was to share his eternal life with you.
Amen.
And his purpose of existence is his church. His purpose of being. See? Now what happened? Did you know Brother Branham even used the word evolution in a positive way? Now we certainly don't believe in Darwin's theory of it.
Right.
We evolved from a monkey or a tadpole. But because the Bible says man was created upright. Is that true?
Right.
But you know, he said the evolution of the Spirit, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
And when we look at the unfolding or the manifestation or the condescending of Elohim. Now, let's think about it a minute. Here he was, and the English word God means object of worship.
Amen.
So as Brother Branham said, he was only potentially God. Because there was no one there to worship him.
Right.
He had all within him that he ever was or ever could be is in him. But before, see, now, he was lonesome. He was lonesome. He wanted a bride. And God's a man.
Yeah.
And God is very spiritually romantic. He wanted a family. God's a father. He wanted children. He wanted to share his spiritual seed gene with you. He wanted to share his eternal life with you and I. See? Now, we know all men do not have the potential, the same potential. Scripture clearly speaks of predestination. Also in the book of Jude, it speaks of those that were foreordained unto condemnation.
Right.
Now, God doesn't reprobate just for the sake of reprobation, but he does that for the elect's sake. In Jeremiah, it says, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? No chaff, no wheat.
Right.
But the chaff is burned with unquenchable fire, and the wheat is gathered into the garner.
Right.
So a lot of stalk and a lot of chaff is there just to produce that little grain of wheat.
That's right.
And you might be that little grain of wheat if you can believe.
Amen.
My sheep, hear my, if you have the ability to hear, blessed are your ears, for they can hear. Right. Blessed are your eyes, for they can see. Now the appearing I'm talking about here tonight, you must see with an eye of faith. The prophet of God said, first to appear and then to come. He said it's two different words. The appearing and then the coming. In fact, if you'll run the reference on it sometime in the message, you'll find about five different places where he defines and distinctly interprets the appearing of the Lord is here and now. We have been in the appearing of the Lord in the last few years. First to appear and then to come. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Hughes? I'm talking about the very ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated again today in the church. That's exactly the way he said it. He said, many of you out there believe the very ministry, this is a direct quote, the very ministry of Jesus Christ is reincarnated again today in the church. He said, I'm believing with you.
Amen.
Now, that didn't make him Jesus Christ, but the ministry of Jesus Christ. And by the way, just because God took his man didn't mean he took his ministry.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
You understand? So, hold with me now. We're here to magnify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're here to see him who is the Word, and we need to pray and say, God, reveal to us the importance of recognizing his appearing, your appearing, Lord. God alone can give you a revelation. Revelation is sovereign.
Amen.
If revelation seems to escape you, you need to pray and cry out for it. Say, God, reveal to me.
Yes.
And there's no contradictions in the message.
Amen.
There's no contradictions in the Bible. But where there appears to be a contradiction, that's where the revelation lies.
Amen.
Amen. We just need to pray and say, God, open up the eyes of my understanding.
Right.
Amen. Now let me back up a little bit. God's great purpose was his church. See? In the great stalk of wheat, different parts of that stalk is used for different things. But in the book of life, all life is sacred.
Yes.
And there's a record of that life.
That's right.
But in that book of life, there's a section in there, in the Lamb's book of life, the section where the names of his elect lady, the bride, is placed. And under no circumstance at all can they be blotted out.
Amen.
Oh, that ought to make you feel good.
Amen. Right.
You might make a lot of mistakes, but God's got it already pre-programmed. He knew you was going to do it before he allowed you to come.
Right.
In the day and age that you were manifested. You see, we must recognize that we are the offspring of the Almighty. Right. We must recognize that we are the seed genes of Jehovah.
Right.
Yeah.
And only when you discover your origin, can you know your destiny?
That's right.
Because origin and destiny is the same.
Amen.
Amen.
Now think about it.
That's right.
If we were in a time capsule or a spaceship and we were to go reverse back into eternity, okay? We could go back 2,000 years ago and see the death, burial, and resurrection. We're taught by a vindicated messenger, and the message declares that God made you pay for your sins when Jesus Christ died at Calvary. God made you pay for your sins there. All you have to do is believe it and accept it. We can go on back a little bit further, and we can see Moses in the first Exodus, etc. We can go on back to the Garden of Eden and the creation of the earth as we see that, and then make way on back. But you can only go so far back, and you're going to come to Elohim. Before there was one speck of stardust, see, you're going to have to lodge. You're going to have to stop that spaceship there, because you can't go any further.
Right.
You have arrived at your origin. And there, as an attribute, a thought. Now, God's thoughts are perfect. Now, you did not pre-exist as a soul or as a person, as we know. In the Church Age book, Brother Branham said, I do not believe in that Mormon doctrine of the pre-existence of souls.
Right. Right.
Nor in the transmigration of souls.
Right.
Okay? And he said, really, it's the seed that comes predestinated, not the person.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You thought, see, we've got to get it straight if we're going to get it straight. It wasn't the person, see. Now, yet Jesus turned back around and said, spoke of the fellowship that he had with his disciples before the foundation of the world. So we did exist, but he said it was the seed. Okay? We existed as the seed. Now, what is the seed? The spoken word is the original
That's
seed.
Right.
But before it was a seed, it had to be a thought.
That's right.
And what did Elohim do? He gave birth to himself.
Right.
All that was in Elohim. How did he do that? By word.
Amen.
He gave birth to his thoughts by speaking his word. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, By faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were formed by the word of God.
Right.
So that things which do appear were made, the things which are seen were made of things which do not appear.
Right.
The word of God.
Right.
See, the word of God does not appear to where you can see it with your natural eye. Here we're talking about the appearing through and by the word of God and the spirit of God. Did you notice the first scripture we read? The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, appeared again in Shiloh and revealed himself unto Samuel. How? By the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you realize there's nothing greater than for God to speak to you? His word.
Yep.
Do you realize the first thing God gave Adam and Eve, he gave them the very best weapon he could give them? His word.
Right.
God's highest order is his word.
Yes.
You say, oh, if I can see it, if I can feel it, you believe it first. You're not promised anything until you believe it first. Jesus never did say you feel it. He never did just, he said you believe it. Only believe. Is that right? If you're going by something you have to see all the time, it shows that you're a sign seeker or something else instead of a real true believer.
Right.
Amen. Now, it will come into manifestation. God brings it into manifestation, but he wants you to take him at his word. Perfect faith is when you can take God at his word.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible declares these signs shall follow them that believe the word.
Amen. That's right.
See, don't ever put the signs ahead of the word. The signs shall follow them that believe the word. The word is first, the word was first, and the word be last.
Right.
God appearing in his word. What portion of the word? Let's back up. If God wanted a family, if God wanted a bride, let's look at this progressive relationship. I'm just going to refer to these scriptures. You can search them out. I might even refer to the wrong scripture, but you can search it and make sure you get it right. But I remember, and I'm just going to quote at it. If our sister can pull it up right quick, it'd be fine. John 13:13. And then John 15:15. And then John 20:17. But look at John 13:13 here for just a moment. Jesus said, "You call me Lord and Master. You do well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet," and so forth, right? Okay, now look, just this portion right here. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." All right? All right, if they call him Master, that would make them, or him Master, that would make his disciples servants. Okay? Now, look at 15:15. "I call you no longer servants," show that he had called them servants. Okay? John 15:15. The same John, by the way. This is the eagle messenger, okay?
Yes.
The eagle messenger, the fourth of the four Gospels. And John was the eagle guard, right? All right. "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things, oh my, that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." A friend is closer than a servant.
That's right, that's right.
A more intimate relationship.
Right.
What's he looking to? Watch. Now, let's go to St. John chapter 20 and verse 17. And this is after, it's progressive, see? John 13, John 17, and now John 20 is after the resurrection. Okay? After the resurrection. "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go ye to my servants," go ye to my friends. After the resurrection, see, he's the firstborn among many brothers.
That's right. Amen.
God had become one of us in the form of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And now he's paid the price and he's resurrected. Okay? The tree of life, the person of the tree of life. This is the only way he can impart this life to you, by the way. The person of the tree of life at this point had become accursed. Hung on the tree of life, brought to a public shame, hung on a cruel Roman tree.
Right.
"Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree."
Right.
What did he do that for? To show his love for you.
Amen.
To bring you to a more intimate relationship with him.
That's right.
Now he's calling them, after the resurrection, he's calling them what? Brethren. Your brother is closer than your servant. Your brother is closer than your friend, right?
Right.
Amen.
Your brother. Okay, brethren. Say unto them. All right? Now, oh my. Then we look here at 1 John. One of the scriptures that I gave you there a while ago. And I think we read that in our opening. But again, it's John.
Yes.
Go to 1 John where it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." It's chapter 3 and verse 2. What? Servants? No. Friends? No. Brethren? No. More intimate. Sons. A more progressive. See how it's progressing?
Yes.
As you go...
Amen.
Further in the book of John, this is the same writer now, this same eagle messenger, John. By the way, is the type of the bride, the same one who took the book in Revelation, right?
Right.
Okay, and now he was not the author of the book of Revelation, but he was the scribe, and he's the one who got it. And what is it? Revelations 20 and 7, maybe? Let's just check that. I'm not sure. I think it's also listed in chapter 19. But... in one place, she's called his bride. In another place, she's called his wife.
Yes. Right.
Now, we're gonna see something here. I really believe that will be very interesting. Revelations, is it 20 and verse 7? Help me there, Brother Tony, if you will, on that one. My little Bible here is, this is the first time I ever remember speaking out of it. I got it because I'm going to be hiking up into the mountains there in Montana. And I wanted to have it convenient to carry it with me. But see,
19 and 7.
Thank you, sis. And then there's also one, I believe, in chapter 20. But somewhere that. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride hath made herself ready. I want you to watch this now, the more progressive relationship that we're promised. Here in 2 John, 1 John, the scripture we read just before this, he said, beloved, now, that was 2,000 years ago, okay? Now we are the sons of God. When he called them brethren was after his resurrection, but when John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, was after Pentecost. You understand? They had been to the upper room and got the new birth. Now Christ is not only referring to them as servants or friends or brethren, but sons. Sons. Your son is closer to you than your brother. Right?
Right.
A son would be closer than your brother.
Amen.
But what is closer than a son? Your wife.
Right.
Amen. Because why? She's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh.
Right.
And when was this to be made known? At the appearing. See? The revelation of the relationship and the plan of redemption thoroughly revealed at the appearing. In other words, John said now, 2,000 years ago, he said this, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, a closer relationship yet, but when he shall appear, then we'll know. Then we'll know. Why? Because then we shall see him as he is. Okay, stay with me now. Right there, stay with me. First to appear and then to come. See? First to appear and then to come. This is the appearing. You can see a man with nail scarred hands and that wouldn't change you.
Right.
But the word was sent to change you.
Right.
And the revelation of his presence was sent to change you.
Right.
The revelation and the coming of the Holy Ghost in such a fashion as never before was sent to make you ready at the appearing. And there's another scripture here that talks about the appearing and then the coming. And I think it's one of the last scriptures I had on the little card there. Maybe we can pull that up here in a moment. But see, what am I trying to say? The message itself. The message. See? God, it's more than just a message. It has been and is the appearing of Christ. The appearing of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I'm not doing away with the coming. That will be the climax, okay? First to appear and then to come. The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold which perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, there's another one that speaks of the appearing and the coming. But I want you to be able to see this because God cannot do any more for you than what he's already done until we believe what he has done. We must accept. See, here it is now. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we shall have that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence. And then, see, not be ashamed before him at his coming. The appearing is mentioned first. And Brother Branham knew exactly what he was talking about, but he had a revelation that Luke 17:30, Revelations 10:7, and so forth, The ministry that he had was the very ministry of Jesus Christ. It was the very ministry of the Son of Man. It was the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. The appearing of the chief shepherd. I want to quote from the Church Age book. And here you'll notice, by the way, that on page, paragraph 111, I believe it is, trying to do God a service, at least it's in that message, trying to do God a service without it being his will. Brother Branham said, you'll find it all drawn out in my book, The Seven Church Ages, which come from God and did not come from my own thinking, which I'll stand by to be judged for it in the day of judgment. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but
right. You
check it out.
Right.
He said that. In other words, he put that Church Age book on tape. He validified it. He validated it.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
All right. Now I'm going to quote from the Church Age book.
Okay.
He said, it's not sufficient just to see the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, for in each age, the church goes astray. And he said, shepherds are wrong as well as sheep. Then he goes on in that same paragraph there, same setting, and he says, but through the ministry of these seven messengers, talking about from Irenaeus right up to Brother Branham himself, see, seven church age messengers, through the ministry of these seven, which was the seven stars, you know, that Christ was holding in his hand.
Right.
Through the ministry, listen close now, see, it's not sufficient just to see all these other things and to see the fivefold ministry, but through the ministry of these seven messengers, God, capital G-O-D, brings himself on the scene as the chief shepherd.
Amen.
That's exactly the way he said it.
Right.
He brings himself through the ministry of these seven messengers. He brings himself. Where is he? He's in his word.
Amen.
Where is he? He's in his people.
Right. That's right.
Because all that was in God, he poured into Christ, and all that's in Christ, he pours into the church.
Right.
He's in his word.
Yeah.
He is. Elijah's God is here. He's with us today. God takes his man, but not his spirit.
Right.
Now, question and answers after the seals. Had a question and answer series. Question and answers of the seals. Seven seals. Brother Brown makes this statement. He said, each age only of the seven church ages. Okay. Each of those ages only had a dip in the Holy Ghost. But now the Holy Ghost is here in his fullness.
Glory
to God.
Praise
what?
Yes.
In his fullness. What? The same one that walked the shores of Galilee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the one who opened the book.
Right.
He's the one who took the book. Hallelujah. But what did he do with it? He sent it down. Page 111 of the breach. He sent it down to his seventh angel messenger on earth to give out to his church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's where you see the fulfillment of Revelation.
Amen.
Chapter 10. The Word coming. The revelation of the Word. The appearing.
Amen.
The Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed himself unto Samuel by the Word of the Lord.
Amen.
At this time the book is open completely.
Right. Amen.
The whole book. And you've got to eat the book. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And you know what happens? When you eat the book, you become the book.
Become.
The Word of God allocated for your generation. God has sent his Word in each age. But you must realize that you're his crown and glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, the woman is the glory of the man.
Right.
That's why she's supposed to keep her head covered.
Right.
I'm talking about the bride, okay? The woman is the glory of the man. John 17 and 22. All the glory that thou givest me, I give to them. Jesus, with all of his glory, said, I'm going to give it to them. Then where's the glory of God? Brother Branham said, and this is a quote now, all of God's glory is in his word. Now, I'm not talking about a dead letter. I'm talking about the living word.
Right.
I'm talking about the person of the Lord God. Oh, my.
Amen.
God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same.
Amen.
Right.
You are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Epistles which have been written. Written epistles? When the prophet brought the interpretation of that, he said, in the original, it's epistles which have been written, but just now being made manifest. Okay.
Amen.
It's okay if I take my jacket off a little
bit.
Amen. I was sitting down in the chair back there, and I hooked my pocket on the handle of this chair, and it kind of ripped my trousers a little bit. But I said, devil, you ain't going to stop me. I didn't even let it bother me. And think about it. Think about it. The glory. God hiding himself. See? Let's back up a little. Let's look at God hiding the bride from Adam. Okay?
Yeah.
Adam. The very extension of God. Such an extension of God, an amateur God, given full control over the earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yet, there was no helpmate for Adam. There was a helpmate for all of the other beasts and animals that Adam named, and so he still wants them. Adam was made so much in the likeness and image of God that his lonesomeness was revealing what had been in the heart of God.
Right, that's right.
Now think about that. Each of the first 5 days of creation, God said, it's good, it's good, good. Second day, and it was good. He created thus and so, and it was good. But he didn't say that on the sixth day after he made man. He said, it's very good.
Right.
Now he's got something in his own likeness, in his own image. Oh, but in the next chapter, he said, it's not good. Good, good, very good, and all of a sudden, not good. What's not good? It's not good for man to dwell alone.
Amen.
God wanted a bride.
Amen.
Amen. God is a romantic God.
Amen.
A very romantic God. And he was lonesome. But you know what? He had a plan. And his plan don't fail.
Amen.
God is able to achieve for himself a bride. A people that will not fall under any circumstances.
Amen.
They will not believe the devil's lie. They will be sealed inside and out.
Amen.
And there ain't no body or no thing can deprogram them.
That's right.
So Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost, the devil just don't know what to do with them. Yes, a person can be so yielded to God to where the devil just say, let me get away from him. Amen. Resist him and he'll flee from you.
Right. That's right.
Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, praise the Lord. Don't you know this is why the devil is howling like he is? Because we have the answer to the devil's question.
Yeah.
That's why they're raising up this World Council of Churches to shut you all down here in Arkansas and all across the nation and around the world. Anybody that don't agree with them, they'll be ready to lock the doors.
Right.
Ship you off to Alaska if they can.
Yeah.
Whatever. But hey, we got a promise. When they try to shut us up, that's when God's going to take us up.
That's right.
Now we know that's what the prophet taught us.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Oh, my. We ought to be excited. Looks that's to right. me like it could be pretty soon.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Now think about this. Where is she, Lord? I've looked high and low through the garden, on the hillside, around the rivers. And where is she? Oh, God said, I've got her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never guess, Adam, where I've hit her. Where was she at? Inside of Adam. God portraying what he was going to do in the second Adam.
That's right.
The prophet of God put it like this. He said, God had not yet separated him, his bride from the second Adam at Calvary. Then when he died, you died.
That's right.
If you're ever going to be a part of God, if you're ever going to be back in God, you was in God in Christ.
Right.
The attributes, hey, listen. If your heavenly Father, if you was ever a source in the beginning, if you ever was an attribute of God, then you was in Christ.
Amen.
At Calvary.
Amen.
And if you're ever going to be in Christ by the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's because you was in Christ at Calvary. Think about that one.
Amen.
Oh my. And you know, Brother Ben said, God sent him to hell. He went to hell for you. So you wouldn't have to. I'll not leave his soul in hell, the scripture says. Now think about that. Here the Lamb of God become a goat. He was the scapegoat. Now, that's part of the message too. Yeah. He became a goat for you.
That's right.
He bore your sins and everything of the judgment and wrath of God that should have fallen on you, it fell on him. He's showing his love to you.
Yes.
How can it be? How can we not respond to such love?
Right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Now think about it just a moment. If we with ink, the ocean filled, all the oceans, what's the earth about? 4/5 water?
Right.
Covered? If we with ink, the oceans, plural, filled, and were the skies of parchment made, every stalk on earth a quill. Every little stalk and every little blade, a quill.
Right.
Every feather, a quill to write with. Okay?
Right.
Every stalk on earth a quill, and every man that ever has been or ever will be was a scribe.
Yes,
by
sir.
Trade.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Amen.
Right.
Think about it.
Glory.
Yes.
Oh my. If we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the oceans dry.
Yes, sir.
Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
Amen.
Oh, love of God, how rich,
Amen.
How pure, how fathomless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not talking about filial love. I'm talking about agape love.
Right.
I'm not talking about natural life. I'm talking about Zoe life. I'm talking about eternal life.
Amen.
God's own life in you.
Yes.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, the hemoglobin of God is His Word. His Word. Oh, it's sacred. No wonder He guards it. No wonder He keeps it. Oh, my. Yet He comes and He hides Himself. Where's she at? Adam might have said. Oh, one of these days I'll show you. And so it come a time that God performed a little surgery. Is that right? Why would He do it that way? Eve didn't come from the dust of the earth like Adam did. He didn't take form her from something else, but He formed her from Him. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. See? Amen. Took that feminine part out. Showing that we were part of Christ from eternity. The
Amen.
First Adam, second Adam. Look, Ephesians 2:10. Bring that one up for us, sister. It says this, we are His workmanship,
Right.
Created unto good works. In, I am Christ Jesus. What? Part of the same creation? Yeah.
Amen.
Oh my.
That's right.
For we are His. Now listen, you didn't make yourself. We're sheep of His pasture.
Right, right.
This plan of redemption is not contingent on me or you.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
This plan of redemption, this bride achievement, is not dependent on my weakness, my stumblings, my fallings, my good works, my track record. That ain't going to make no difference. It doesn't matter. God is already, it's a creation. Look, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, if we're created in Christ Jesus, that makes us part of the same body, right? Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Unto what good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Now I'm not preaching, leave that one up there for a while. I'm not preaching for a minute, and don't you think for a minute that I am advocating just footloose and fancy free, do as you please.
Right.
Because when the Spirit of God comes in you, you're going to straighten up and fly right.
Amen.
That's right.
When the Spirit of God comes in you, you're a new creature.
That's right.
And the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Is that right? Oh, hallelujah. A real, genuine new birth, Brother James. If you'd have known me, oh my, before God got a hold of me, you'd know. And of course, the same with each of you. If you're really born again. See, that old man has to die. That old lady has to die. Oh my, a new creature. In other words, how did he introduce himself to the Laodicean church age? As the Amen of God and as the beginning or beginner of the creation of God.
Right, that's right.
Then if he, Christ, was the beginning of the creation of God, pray tell me, where is the continuation of the creation of God?
Amen.
His bride. See? The continuation, see? He is... Brother Rand put it like this, Christ creating himself a bride. And he's had an elect number out of each church age, but here in this age, hallelujah, he's got a special group. He saves the best for last. And now, as he hid himself in Christ 2,000 years ago, let me ask you a question. Why did they crucify Christ? Thou being a man, oh, which good work do you crucify me? What are you trying to stone me for? Which good work is it that I've done that I shouldn't have done? And now you're trying to stone. Oh, no, no, we're not stoning you for some good work. We're stoning you because thou being a man, makest thyself God.
Man.
Right. That's why they stoned him. And when you come to the revelation that you're part of God, that's why they won't stone you too.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. Sure. Because it looks like, hey, you're making yourself something you should. You couldn't be, because I know you and I know your background. You know you're just. All right. Now, why did they crucify him? When the Greeks said, sirs, we would see Jesus, why couldn't they see him? Brother Ben said they really didn't see him. But why? Because God was hid in his human temple. That's why they didn't really see him. They saw a man. They saw Jesus. But the appearing I'm talking about, amen, is a revelation through and by the Word and the Spirit. Okay? Oh, my. Yes. So God hid himself in a man 2,000 years ago, but now he changes his form again. Immorphia changes his mask again. And hides himself in a woman.
Yep.
Ooh, what? Yeah. God hiding himself, condescending, coming on down lower. Not only, see, hiding himself in a man that was virgin born and sinless like he was 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
The way he hid himself 2,000 years ago. But now he's hiding himself in a group of people that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but born again.
Amen.
And sanctified.
Thank you, Lord.
And he comes in then and dwelt. And the prophet put it like this. He said, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the church.
Ooh. Amen.
My, what?
That's right.
Yeah, that's a quote. The fullness. God hiding himself in a woman.
That's right.
The wisdom of God
that's
confounds,
right.
See, the wise and the mighty. He chosen the weak things to confound the, you know, the strong. And he's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. And the foolishness of God. What did you say, Brother Hughes? What did you say, Paul? It wasn't Brother Hughes. Paul's the one that said that.
Amen.
He said the foolishness of God. What? Paul said that? Attribute some foolishness to God? God forbid. You got to understand what Paul was talking about. He said the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching that he might save the lost.
Right.
Foolishness of, he didn't say foolish preaching. He said the foolishness. Why? Because to the world it's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Right.
Ain't that what the Bible says?
That's
what it says. Oh, oh my. Oh my. Y'all excuse me. I'm just trying to let off the pressure. My. Talk about the fellowship of the revelation. Fellowship, see. Fellowshipping in the revelation of who you are.
Yes.
Who he is. It's not sufficient to see deity in Jesus Christ, Craig. It's not sufficient just to see deity and the ministry of Christ. Amen. In a prophet. You've got to see Christ in you.
Amen.
That's the hope of glory. You've got to, you see, it's an individual. God always identifies himself with the individual. See? You can let this message become an idol.
That's right.
Just like the Lutherans. See, why were they called Lutherans? Because they believed the message of Luther.
Right.
But they, if they only had an intellectual conception of it and they really didn't get born again and have that same faith that Luther had, then that just become a denominational idol.
That's right.
Wesley is the same way with the Methodist. Whenever Wesley as the messenger of his age, they would call them Methodists. They would call them Lutherans as a slang. Just like they call the Pentecostals holy rollers. And just like they call you Branhamites. But listen, see, you could be identified with the message and still not be born again and be identified with Christ. Christ wants to identify himself in you.
Amen.
It's one thing for you to say, I've accepted the message, I've accepted Christ, but has he accepted you?
Right.
Has he come and confirmed? Excuse me.
Right.
Have you been conformed, amen, from the things of the world and transformed, amen, into a real Christian to where he can come and confirm your faith by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Amen. That's what we want to be sure that we're, amen, one with the Word.
Right.
The headship of the Word. Did you ever listen to, and I'm going to close here pretty quick, but did you ever notice how, I encourage you to try it sometime. Listen to the seven seals, or even just the seventh of the seven seal messages. And then go, that was in March of 63. Then you go to July and listen to Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. It's just like a continuation of the seventh seal. But in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he brings out the threefold purpose. And he says this also, listen. He says, that great secret, oh, it's so simple, we let go of our head if we're not careful now. The great secret, that great mystery that God had hid in the back part of his mind is now made known and is in the hearts of his believing children.
Hallelujah.
I paraphrased that a little bit, but you'll find that right in the message if you'll study it. Yeah, what? Something has happened by the speaking of the word, by the opening of the book, see?
Right.
After the book was opened. Amen. See, that great mystery. Oh, it'd have to be something great, deep, mysterious, Brother Hughes. Yes, but yet so simple, it's threefold purpose.
Right.
It just reveals the purpose of God and what God's wanting to do and trying to do and is doing.
Amen.
He can't fail in his purpose.
Amen.
God can't fail. What is it, Brother Hughes? He wanted to reveal himself.
Right.
He wanted a family, he wanted a bride, and he wanted you to know who he was. He wanted an intimate relationship with you.
Right.
Intimate. Amen. He wanted to reveal himself. He wanted to gain the preeminence in his church, and he wants to restore you back.
Amen. Amen. Right.
He wants to restore us back, amen, not only physically, but spiritually, back to the state we was in Eden before the fall. This is a message of restoration. Don't ever lose track of that simplicity, of that
right.
threefold purpose.
Right.
Hold that in mind. That's what God wants to do. And if you'll work with Him in that purpose, you'll see something, you'll see some progress taking place.
Yeah.
If you'll try to work for the same purpose that He has determined to fulfill, then you'll know you're walking in the very perfect will of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
A great divine romance. And God is fixing to take His elect lady home. Think about it.
Man.
He's fixing to take her out of here. One of the places where there appears to be a contradiction, I'm thinking about the message oneness. In there, Brother Branham says we're not really married to Christ, we're engaged. He said the marriage takes place at the marriage supper. He said we're engaged. All right, I believe that was a 62 message entitled Oneness. It's a great message. But you can also find about half a dozen places where he said she's already married.
Right.
All right, it looks like a contradiction, but hold on now. Then we also see how that He taught us that 2,000 years ago, God bless you, brother, how that there was not a marriage ordained to take place 2,000 years ago, because before Christ could marry her, spoke the words of original seed, okay? He said just like the first Adam was given a wife, but before he could marry her, she had become fallen.
Right.
Fallen woman. He said, so likewise the second Adam, spoken word son, Christ, was given a bride on the day of Pentecost. And before he could marry her, she also became a fallen woman. And how that happened? See? And she's been a fallen woman then through seven church ages.
Right.
To a degree. And Christ will not marry a fallen woman.
Amen.
See? The bride tree has to be restored.
Amen.
Before he can marry her. Oh my. Yes. See? Ordained to be in this our day. In the message proving his word, he said the union takes place here. We only go to the marriage supper there.
Right.
You say, well then, how come he says we're only engaged, Brother Hughes, over here in this message, and over here in this message he said we're married? Well, take it to the scripture. And remember what he taught us also when he said to Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife.
Right.
The engagement is, in the eyes of God, what really marries you. So I'm here to ask you, are you really, truly engaged to Jesus Christ? This is the engagement. It takes place right through this message. Through this Son of Man ministry brings us to an invisible union. Now, we're not taken away from the marriage supper. I believe there will be a marriage supper. I trust by the grace of God I'll be there. I hope to see you there.
Amen.
I believe that He'll take those same nail-scarred hands that hung on Calvary 2,000 years ago, and He'll wipe the tears from our eyes. That's what I believe. Okay. In the message, three kinds of believers, Brother Branham said, we believe in the literal return of the body of Jesus Christ where we'll meet Him in heaven. He said that's what believers believe. So don't ever let anybody talk you out of the fact there's going to be a real rapture and a real coming of the Lord Jesus, and we'll meet him in the air. That is the promise. But what I'm trying to say is this: you'll never see him in the air, you'll never meet him in the air until, and you'll never be in part, that part of that coming unless you can recognize the appearing first. In his word, in the ministry that he has brought you, and is sent to bring you to an invisible union. Not a visible appearing, but an invisible union. Oh my. United with the word in holy wedlock. Oh, in united eternally with the eternal God. My. The union takes place through this ministry. Now, if I tried to preach it all night, I wouldn't have anything for you in the morning. But I hope I've given you a little something to think about. The appearing of Christ, the appearing of the chief shepherd. God brings himself on the scene, not just a little blimp or a little appearing and then some hideaway. No, but he hides himself in his bride. And he's not going to leave until he takes her with him. He's right. Here to present to himself a bride without spot or blemish.
Right.
And so that's what he's trying to achieve. And we want to work with him. Amen?
Amen.
We want to be surrendered, Brother Black. Yes. We want to be fully surrendered. Only as we yield ourselves and surrender ourselves. I'll close my Bible if I can get my mouth closed. I'll be all right. But listen, think about it. This great, glorious message, Brother Tony. It's just like a river of eternal life. You just have to find a place to step in, a place to step out, and it just keeps on going. See, amen. But be praying for me for the morning service. Will you do that?
Yes.
I appreciate it. I believe God's going to give us a special service in the morning. I hope somehow that we've said something to make you realize that, you see, God's counting on you. He's already done all that he can do. Amen. Until you take what he's done for you. He can't do no more for you until you believe and accept what he's already done for you. Amen.
Amen.
That's true. And it's not us waiting on God. It's God waiting on us. Amen. We have a little sister. I believe Solomon said in the Proverbs, we have a little sister. What shall we do in the day that she's spoken for? For she has no breast. She's not mature, in other words, to be married. We're talking about divine romance. We're talking about a wedding supper. We're talking about a catching away. But there will be none until you come to maturity. Because God's dealing with you as an individual.
Right.
And don't go and point your finger at the church or the pastor or somebody else. It's God's dealing with you as an individual. You are the one that's responsible.
Right.
In closing, how would you like to have been Joseph? And had the responsibility he had. You brothers. You sisters. How would you like to have been Mary and had the responsibility she had? They had the responsibility. Mary, for instance, had that responsibility to receive the word, conceive the word, give birth to the word, nurture the word, and bring that word to full maturity. Watch that word be crucified, offering acceptable sacrifice to God, and then she had to turn back around and go up into the upper room under the headship of Pastor John. Jesus had put Mary under the headship of Pastor John.
That's right.
At the cross.
That's right.
Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother.
Right.
And through the pastorship of John, that eagle messenger, whew, he took her all the way to Pentecost, and that same word that she had conceived in her womb and nursed with her breast and spoon-fed and taught and brought to maturity and watched it crucified, that same word, that same person,
right,
glory,
had to come into her soul,
amen,
into her heart. the great the greatest church in the New Testament, the church of Ephesus, only had about a dozen people. Paul, having come to the upper post, found certain disciples, and it's revealed there in Acts 19. The church that Paul established, Apollos was instrumental, of course, but Paul is the one who really established that church. John went and pastored, and Mary went with him. And you know what she and John was doing over there? They was composing the canon of the scriptures, compiling the epistles that Paul had written. Again, she was working with the word to bring it to full maturity.
Amen.
And that's what God wants you to be and do. Let the word come to full maturity, because you have the same responsibility that Mary had. You have the same responsibility that Joseph had.
That's right.
This word has been given to you. Can you believe it?
Amen.
Can you accept it? Can you feed on it?
Amen.
Or would you rather get on Facebook? Time to get your face in the book. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It's time to come back. Listen, there is no reasoning with this message. That was what got Eve in trouble when she began to let the devil reason with her. There's no questioning of this message. It was not sent to question. It was sent to believe. Follow all this Tommy Rod on the internet and stuff about the message. And I wonder this and I wonder that. And oh, somebody said, how can we prove this about the cloud? And I fell over here where Brother Branham lied and this, that, and that. And you want to follow that stuff and feed on that stuff?
Right.
God forbid. Shame on you. You ought to repent.
Right.
Get in the book and get in the message. The message was not sent to question about or talk about. It was sent, and the token was sent to be applied.
Amen.
Lived, right. Accepted, believed. And if we'll do that, brother, right. Sister, hallelujah, we'll become part of the book.
Amen.
When you eat the book, you'll become the book.
Yeah.
You become what you feed on.
That's right.
Feed on the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I wish I could sing right now. Let your word, amen. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Amen.
Yes,
what Mary said? Amen.
Yes.
Let your word be hid in my heart, Lord. Let it be unto me according to thy word. According to thy promises.
All right.
Y'all know that little chorus?
Yeah, you do.
Let's sing that, can't we? That'll maybe help me to...
Be it unto me.
Yeah, be it unto me. That's it. Let's stand if we could. Amen. Let's bow our heads as the musicians are coming. Heavenly Father, let not your word return void, but let it find bedding ground deep in the hearts of your children. And Lord, may it bring forth of its own kind. We love you, Lord Jesus. We have accepted your word that you sent to us in this day.
Yes.
And we know there's healing, there's power. You said where the word of the King is, there is power. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord. You sent your word and healed them. We believe it, Father. Let your word be hid now in our hearts, we pray. And let it bring forth of its own kind. Grant it, Master. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
to me. According to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. In the bride as it was in Mary. Amen.
Amen.
God richly bless you, my brothers and sisters. Let's believe God. Let's
Amen.
Take God at His word.
Thank you, Lord.
He's still the same yesterday, today, and
forever. Yes. Amen.
If He ever healed, He still heals.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And He wants to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
He wants to do it. He wants to perform every promise. But above all, He wants to bring that healing into our souls. Amen.
Amen.
And take away our spiritual sickness, our spiritual amnesia.
Yes.
He wants to take us back to familiar places.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. And that's one of the processes of
right.
healing. Amen. He does that by taking us back, amen, to our origin. Amen.
Yes.
God bless you as Brother Tony comes. Amen. Can we sing that once again as our pastor comes?
Oh, be it unto me according to thy word, according to your promises, I am standing sure.
Mentioned Sunday morning how that the Lord looks down through lattice to us, kind of just as a mystery, and we desire to see more of Him.
Amen.
And it's a requirement. It is a requirement in this hour that we can look in the mirror and see Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's right. That's what the Word has said. Can you believe that He died for you and paid the price for your sins on Calvary? Can you believe that He died? That all the suffering that will ever have to be
yes.
for the David, for your mistakes and my mistakes, all the suffering that will ever have to be happened right there.
Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Can you believe that?
Amen.
And you Amen. Were in Him when that happened. As He quoted, God made you pay for your sins in Christ on Calvary. Why? Because the Scripture said so.
Yes.
Because the types and shadows say that she was in Adam. Right? First Adam, she was in Adam. God opened up his side and took a wife out. And that was the answer to his needs. And that God had needs. He had a wife. She was in Christ. And on Calvary, when they stuck that sword in his side, and water and blood, the same thing that comes in birth, right? Same thing that comes out in a birth, when a woman gives birth to a child, water and blood, and that's what they was typing, showing there. That Christ there on Calvary paid for all those sins, and you were in him, and then that the symbol of the church coming forth there, the bride coming forth there. So you don't have to suffer for your sins. Right? Can you believe that? You said you believed that he died for you and all that was paid for there. Can you believe that you was in him?
Yes.
And now you've come forth and you'll never have to pay for those things because you've already paid for it in him. That's what the scripture says. I know the world doesn't necessarily teach it that way, but that's what has happened to us in this hour, that God has come down and visited us in this generation that we might know those deep secret things of God and know that mystery of God, how that he became, went into Christ, and then how that Christ came into the church.
Amen.
That's what it is. And so it's required that we look in the mirror and be able to look past the flesh, look past the mistakes. Did the mistakes make a difference in the life of Abraham? Did Abraham's mistakes cause God to have to back up and say, I can't use this man?
No.
Not at all. Did David's mistakes, when he took Bathsheba, I know that I mentioned this several times in the church, I hope you don't get too tired of hearing it because it's true. David's mistakes, when he took Bathsheba and all the men that were died because of that, did that cause God to have to stop back and say, and stand back and say, well, I thought he was the man after my own heart?
No.
No, it didn't make a difference. Now, did Abraham, did Moses, did David, did they get spankings? Absolutely, they sure did. Matter of fact, the mess we've got over there in the Middle East right now is because of what Abraham did, right? See, that's what it is. So spankings are hard, and it's a hard price to pay, right? But when you are in the family of God, when you are in that plan, you are that seed of God that's coming to this world, then you're in that line of redemption. And nothing that you do can add to or take away. It can make a difference on how rough your life is and how much you have spankings. But it will not change the fact that God has put his name in you.
That's right.
God has put his name in you. And how many times do we see it in the scriptures where he would say, for his name's sake.
Yes.
God ain't going to put his name in something that's going to turn around and mess up his name.
That's right.
Understand what I'm saying? So we've got to believe those things. He paid for your sins, and you paid for your sins in him on Calvary, and we'll never have to meet up with that because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't want to try to prolong the service, but I want you to arm yourself with that understanding right there. Just that one simple thought. I paid for my sins in him. I'd like for you to arm yourself, clothe yourself in that right now. Right now, just wrap yourself up, just like putting a coat on and say, you know what? It's all paid for. I don't have to suffer. I heard yesterday, Brother Ram said, when a man goes and picks a bride, he's not going to pick a bride who, before he marries her, he's going to have to purge her. He said, if anything else, because he has fallen in love with her and chosen her, he said, if anything, he will do everything he can to turn her hand away from tribulation.
Yeah.
He will do everything he can to keep her from having to suffer. Why? He said, because she's already found favor with him when he called her. Right? When he's called her. If you want to know who Jesus Christ has come to this earth for, to take to be his bride, it's the one he comes to when he came here, and it's the one that he takes home with him when he goes.
Amen.
Right? Like Brother Brim said, there's many women, but there's only one that goes home with me at the end of the evening. And there's only one Miss Jesus Christ that goes home with him when this thing's over with, and she's the one that he come to. And who is he? He's the revealed word of the hour.
Yes,
right?
Amen.
And he's in you, and we have to come to the realization. And I've said it many times. They told him, they said, who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself? And all he was really standing there saying is, I'm what the word said would come.
Amen.
I'm just standing here telling you what the word, and if I'm not that, then you don't have to believe it, but I'm just saying what the word said would be here. And it's the same thing today. When you begin to realize what the Word said was going to come and that you are that Word, and you begin to put that in flesh, guess what? They're going to say to you, who do you make yourself? But all you have to say is not who I'm making myself, it's who He made me.
Amen.
Right? And I want you to clothe yourself with that for just for a moment, because I want to open up a time for prayer. If anybody has anything that you would like for the ministers to pray about, I want you to come up and do that. But I want you to clothe yourself with that thought. I'll never have to pay for my sins again because I paid for them in Calvary. I want you to think about that. If anybody, I know Brother Hughes would be more than happy to pray with anybody, and so Brother Tim would just play something. And I know that there's needs. How many believe that? How many believe that God on Calvary paid the price for your healing? Right? Brother Hughes said it just a little while ago. And I heard Brother Graham say it many times. But God can't do any more for you than what He's already done. But you have to accept it. You have to embrace it. So I just want to just open a time for those that would like to come up for prayer, just to do that just for a moment. And look, all the fountain is here. All the fountain of life is here now. With the right attitude, the right mental attitude to any promise of God, will bring it to pass. The right attitude, you say, I've fought something for years. The right attitude. I heard Lonnie Jenkins say this one time. He said, you just work so hard and so hard trying to believe for something, and all of a sudden something just drops in and there it is. Just like that. Why couldn't tonight be that night? You might have fought it for years, but what about under the presence of the Word you've heard tonight, there's something that clicks in your spiritual being, something that clicks and says, I see it, and it'll make the difference. And so I say to you, if you've got needs, you come to the fountain. You clothe yourself with what you heard tonight. Clothe yourself with that and come and see what God will do. You might find out this will be your last time you had to fight this devil that you've been fighting for years. It'll be the last time. Because He promised it, right? It's too late in the game. This is something important. And people were looking, questioning this and questioning that, and I was thinking, when you said that, you know, my wife prepared a nice meal and placed it on the table. I'm pretty sure that if I come in and my son Benjamin and Anna, we come in and we look at the food and we begin to talk about it and discuss it, you think that's, you know, you think that food's any good? You know, is it good food? Is it really food? But you know what? I think that she would probably get pretty offended, right? I wonder what God thinks about people who question His Word, right? When it's such a vindicated Word, right? Just sit down at the table and eat. You know what?
Amen.
My body, the last time I looked, whenever I sat down and eat, I eat beans and I eat cornbread and fried potatoes and poke salad.
Yeah,
poke salad.
Oh, man, yeah.
Okay. So, when I eat those things, I don't have to sit there and struggle about what, you know, what is the nutrients in it and what's not. I just eat it.
Amen.
It's all in the process. God already knows how. And if you just eat that food, and I'll tell you what, exactly what you need in your experience will go right straight to what part of your life that you need.
That's
and it'll
right.
go right there. And if there's something in there that ain't right, that's no good for you, it goes on out. Right? So we just eat the Word. Right? Just feed on the Word. And that's what a pastor's responsibility is. You know what? He may not be the best person in the world at speaking eloquently or whatever. He might just have a real southern draw or whatever it might be. But I tell you what he'll do. He'll keep you feeding on the Word.
Amen.
And that's what you need.
Amen.
Because it'll take care of itself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're just going to bow our hearts in prayer. Brother David, would you come close in the service? Would you be able to see our brother?
I believe we can say it's been good to be here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
It's been certainly a feast around the Word. Let's all bow our heads. Father, what can we say? If you be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
God, with a word like this, it's hard to leave. It's hard to end a service like this. I don't want to go. Brother Gerald could just continue on. I believe we're going back to the time when, Lord, when as Paul was preaching, a young man up in the top fell asleep, fell down. He was severely injured to the point that, Lord, he died. And Paul just went and just, Lord, just laid out on him and Father, he just prayed the prayer of faith. Man was restored. Father, to the they fellowshipped around till daylight.
Yes, that's right.
God, hallelujah. I've said for years that Church of Acts has to come around full circle.
Yes, yes.
And indeed, we're at that time.
Hallelujah.
Lord, for some, that'll be a good thing. And others, it won't be. Father, because it has its reward, be it good or evil. Father, help us all to stand, Lord. God, in that reward, Lord, be it good or evil, Lord God, and just help us, Lord God, to stand in a faith that was once delivered unto the saints, Lord God, as we go our separate ways tonight, Lord God. Keep us, Lord God,
yes,
the weather's not good. God, you're able to do exceeding abundantly, God, above anything we can ask or think, Lord Jesus. God, as we go to our separate places of abode, bring us back, Lord God, the appointed time and place to you all. God, according to your will, give us traveling grace, Father. God, and just bless us again around your word, Lord Jesus. Feed us with that bread of life, Lord, that manna from heaven, Father. Grant it, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen.
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 Brother Tim gets a song for us to leave on, and you can stay and worship as long as you want. That means happy.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Daniel, have you heard from Brother Jason?
Yes, they have.
That's okay. All right, just want to make sure that is okay. All right. Amen. Just be in prayer for the morning service tomorrow morning at 10:30. Hope God will move. And of course, we have saints that will be here tomorrow that's not here tonight. And so just be in prayer that the devil won't get in the way. They'll be here. We know God will speak to their hearts. You can always count on God to be in his word, right? Because that's where he is. That's his will, in his word. And if his word's in his church, then he's in his church, right? I know the Catholic Church wants to take that and make something out of it, but he's in his word.
Amen.
That's right. And his word is in his people that believe him. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
I bless you.
Amen.